This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 391, When Sully Met Young Drake. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
What you doing?
I'm just sitting here in the cool, doing what pandas do best, which is nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
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 Except, you know, not always in the cool, though, because sometimes pandas be in the hot.
All the time, pandas be hot.
And with all that fur, I would imagine, like, being in the hot is not cool.
Oh, my God. And a furless panda is disturbing to look at.
Would not look at that ever.
I don't blame you.
I have a drink in my cup, so everything's all good. Yes, people, it's going to be one of those kinds of shows.
Yep.
Because it's summertime, and that means...
Bev time.
And it's an important time in every ninja's life.
Yeah, because it's almost time to celebrate her younger sister's birth.
No, that's not exactly what I was going at. It's basically summertime, so it's time for frosty beverages.
Summertime. Ooh, summertime.
With that said, we have more E3 stuff to talk about. Surprise, surprise. Told you last week we weren't done
yet. I know,
yet.
We kind of warned you.
I thought I told you that I wouldn't stop.
She wouldn't stop.
No, I'm not going to stop. We have way too much stuff to talk about. We barely scratched the tip of the iceberg. We didn't talk about all the AAA titles. We didn't talk about all of the franchises. We touched on like a few. Dude, we didn't even get to Uncharted, so... Like, there's so much that we have to talk about. We didn't talk about Scalebound as much as I wanted to. We didn't talk about, you know, all kinds of things. Like, I could spend a whole hour just talking about Unity, and I only played it for, like, 8 minutes.
Unity?
Yeah. AC Unity.
Oh, yes.
Dude, there's a new Hidden Blade. It throws fucking daggers.
Are you serious now?
Yes.
Like, you're not OP enough as is being able to run up buildings?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the Phantom one now, so you can launch a dagger from across a crowded square.
Oh, man, no one would ever know it was you, random person in a hood.
Yes, total assassin annihilation. But I digress. We will probably have, let me not lie, an entire episode about Unity.
No, really?
Let me not
because
lie.
Every time we have an Assassin's Creed game, it's not like
let
you don't
me,
take over.
Let me not lie. We will have multiple episodes about Unity. So let me just, I'm warning you now, it's kind of like a spoiler, but not really
a
spoiler.
It's like a mini Phantom spoiler, like Phantom Blade.
I'm basically telling you what is going to happen.
She's like a fortune teller, and she just told you in your future you will hear her.
I'm preparing you for the schedule that's going to come. So it's not really a spoiler as much as it is just me telling you this is how it gonna be. So the thing that's really my focus for today, right? Because there's so many different ways we could go. We could talk about Project Spark. We could talk about Bloodborne more. We could talk about Witcher 3. Oh my god.
No Man's Sky.
We could talk about the
Dragon Age Inquisition.
We could talk about the Batman game.
Talk about the Batman game.
No, we're going to talk about the Batman game. Like, it's going to happen. Accept it into your life. Accept Batman into your life, Panda.
No.
Accept the Batman. We could talk about wargaming, because I saw some cool shit over there. And if you checked out any of our coverage from E3 over on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, you already know that I actually am pretty impressed with World of Warships. Like, there's so much to talk about. Okay, we could talk about Rollers of the Realm, which is the pinball RPG game from Atlas. We could talk about that. Holy, completely surprised me. Not something I thought that I would enjoy. Totally fucking enjoyed it. So much to talk about. We're going to focus on a couple of key things on this episode because really, we only have an hour, so we got to be concise about this ish.
Concise like a boss?
So, concise like you would hope a boss, but not necessarily just bosses. So, let's start with Uncharted 4.
Yes, please. Let's do it.
All right. Panda, I know you've been doing all kinds of research and reading up on this game.
Yep. I have been.
So, the one thing I want to say is, as I was sitting watching the briefing, and the moment Nathan Drake's face popped up on the screen, and I heard him talking to Sully, and I saw the name of the game, which is A Thief's End, my first thought was, Naughty Dog, don't you fucking kill Sully. Not even Nathan Drake, okay? But don't you fucking kill Sully. I will have a
Well, they already had a psych out in Uncharted 3 with him dying.
I know, and you remember, I had feels.
I know.
I had serious feels.
You had all the feels.
Because I'm like, no!
I mean, there's several different ways that you can interpret the title of Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. From the digging and stuff that I've done, though, however, it looks like...
Yeah, what you got? What you got? What you got? What is your digging?
It looks like the fourth game is not coming right after the end of 3. It's coming way after 3. Which, if you look at, you know, his animation, Nathan Drake, he does look a little bit older.
Right.
I'd say not as old as, like, Joel from The Last of Us, but a little younger. So there's been a chunk of time that has happened between 3 and 4.
Right.
And at the point of 4 that we start off, Drake has left treasure hunting. Because, I mean, after, you know, getting happed up on some, you know, nerve gas that makes you think that your best friend and partner, you know, kind of got shot in the chest and died. I mean, that would make me reevaluate my life choice.
A sandals vacation.
Yeah.
Just real quick. All inclusive. So you don't have to worry about anything for a while.
And we know from the end of that, you know, him and his lady, blonde lady, I think what her name's like Nina.
I don't know.
Or whatever.
I can't remember.
The reporter lady.
I hated that chick, so I really didn't take the time to remember her name.
She wasn't Chloe, but it doesn't matter. But anyway.
She wasn't Chloe. That did matter.
It doesn't matter.
It mattered to me.
But he was wearing a ring, as was our reporter lady. So you know that he was thinking about happily ever aftering her.
Evidently he did, because he's still wearing the ring in the trailer.
Yes. So it has, in fact, happened. But like I said, there's several different things that could be happening, because at the start of this game, he has retired from it. So he already stopped being a thief, so to speak. But it could just be playing off on the whole thing of once a thief, always a thief.
Nathan Drake can retire like Jay-Z retires.
Right,
okay?
And it could easily be that synopsis. And the way that my investigations have been going, it kind of leads that way. So it kind of takes place a little bit after 3... he's retired, but he embarks on this mission to pursue this, you know, to shine some light on this controversy, this historical thing behind this pirate treasure. So I think he's going to go after, like, Blackbeard's treasure.
So what I have the feeling of just from the dialogue from the trailer, because my only touches on Uncharted 4 were the trailer from Sony's briefing and, like, the sniffing that I tried to do around Sony's booth at E3, because, as you guys know, Sony doesn't love us all that much.
That's okay.
So we weren't able to get hands-on with anything at their booth this year. That's okay, though. One of these days, they're going to turn around, and we're going to be like, you know, that girl in the clutch that's always been there, their best friend, and always supported them, and seen them through thick and thin, and they're just going to wake up and realize that all the skanks that they've been having these one-night stands with aren't worth anything, and they're going to come back to us, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to have a wonderful future together, but until that happens, we don't get any booth love. So, my only exposure has been that trailer and a few, like, little tidbits that I picked up from eavesdropping on other people's appointments at Sony's booth this
you
year.
You thief of
just
information.
Just, like, a little bit. You know, look, if you're not going to give me the info, I'm going to get it some way. Like, that's my job. That's why we go to shows, is so that we can get info and we can share it with our listeners and all the people who like to read the stuff that we write so they can get our opinions on stuff. So if I can't get it, like, legit, then I'm going to get it any way that I can.
Whoa, that sounds a little dirty.
I know it does, like, a little bit, but I'm on the hustle because I love these guys.
I know you do.
Our podcast. So anyway, I was just standing by a booth just, like, listening in. in. And, like, every once in a while, the guy doing the tour for the group that was in front of me, which was a podcast out of Canada, would look over and be like, are you listening? And I'd be, like, looking at my phone like, no, I'm totally not listening. Had the voice recorder on the whole time. Undercover brother, what's up?
Sister. Undercover ninja.
But basically, the only things that I glean is that basically Sully comes to Nathan with the idea of one last big score. And that it's so big, and one of the things that they, that, you know, Sully has wanted to do and track since he was younger and Nathan was a kid, like, he's got legit info on, and that's how he's able to talk Nathan into helping him do this one last thing. And so that's why in the trailer you hear Sully's voice talking about the thing, the score. And Nathan just being like, okay, but this is it. Like, this, and I'm done, because this is the one. And you, like, hear Sully going, like, if ever there's one to go out on, this is one. So I think it's Sully talking Nathan into helping him do this one big last deal so they both can feel good about basically retiring, where I feel like Nathan probably is already cool with it.
I feel foreshadowing in that conversation.
Yeah, like, a lot. And so I think, you know, to your point, Panda, a thief's end can be interpreted a couple of ways, but if Naughty Dog is really wanting to put the cap on the franchise, so
then why not get rid of the foundation that made Nathan a treasure hunter in the beginning?
Correct.
Which is Sully.
You kill it, right? And so that's why, like, as I'm watching it, I'm looking at this, and I'm listening to Sully talking Nathan into this last big score. Like, every cook crime movie that I've seen, especially in the last decade, like, when you think of The Italian Job, mm-hmm. and you think of The Getaway, and you think of, what was that one with, it was The Italian Job with Donald Sutherland and Mark Wahlberg in it, and you think of The Heist, and you think of, what was that one with De Niro and Norton. It wasn't The Heist.
No, but I know which one you're talking about. I just can't remember
its
name.
Yeah, it was another one where, you know, they were going to steal, like, this amazing scepter from Canada.
of course, Canada.
And De Niro was in it. Like, those kinds of movies. Almost all of them, with the exception of one that I just mentioned. No, two, because The Heist... Gene Hackman doesn't die. But a big chunk of how they end is that their sage, like, died in the wool, old school thief. Dies.
Oh, it's like what they did with Red 2, where... Right.
Well, Red 1, where Morgan Freeman died.
Offers himself up because he's dying from a disease.
You know, so that's how you cap it off and you end it, is that you kill, basically, your sage. So, like, as soon as the trailer went, like, I was sitting next to Shadow Next Gen, and I was like, they better not kill Sully. I will fucking rage quit. And you know me, I very rarely
You don't often rage quit, but when you do, it's with conviction.
When I do, it's with conviction, because if I rage quit a game, that's like, it. I'm at the GameStop trading that shit in.
It's not like me with my relationship. Oh, maybe I'll give... No more chances. You're done.
When I rage quit, we're done. Like, the game comes out, I don't go back to it. Fuck you. I move on to the next one. Because bad relationships have to end that way. That's how you make it clean. So I, the entire time the trailer's running, all I'm doing is repeating, you better not kill Sully. You better not kill Sully. And so he's like, what about Nathan? I'm like, actually, I would be okay if they killed Nathan Drake. If they're ending the franchise, especially if we're further along in, you know, the timeline, that maybe Nathan's had a kid to inspire.
Well, I mean, we won't know that until
I'm okay if you prep me for a new franchise with a new Drake. If you kill this Drake, but there's just something about Sully's character that I just find so human and so humble that the idea of them killing off that character pains me more than them killing off their lead.
Well, I mean, I feel like when you kill Sully, you're killing a big essential part of what makes Drake, Drake.
Yeah, as opposed to if you just kill Drake, I'm like, well, there can be other adventurers. He could have kids. Like,
he could totally be that guy from Far Cry.
He may have knocked up Chloe before he married this chick, and we're going to find out in a new game that there is a new Drake. There is another.
Whoa. You're really rooting for Chloe here, even though
I like
he obviously put the ring on.
I know, but but you know that Chloe doesn't really necessarily expect that because she, you know, almost fucked Drake in the last game before they went off to the thing. You remember, you talked about her butt being in the air and how you were not feeling the duck butt.
I was not feeling the duck butt.
Okay. So, who's to say that before he put a ring on it, that Chloe didn't get a little? And because he put a ring on it, she's the kind of chick that's like, hey, he picked his life. I'ma do me all by me and went off
I
and
can do bad kid. All by my Chloe self.
Like, Chloe could totally be a single parent.
A single parent treasure hunter.
Seriously. So I feel like that is a definite possibility to have a, there is another Drake. So I'm more okay with the idea of if they're ending the franchise, you kill off Drake. If you're ending Drake's story and the franchise is going to continue, there is another. Whether it's a bloodline Drake or maybe he and What's-Her-Face adopted because they're going to have kids. I don't know. And then you have Sully as almost the grandpa figure now as opposed to the father figure.
Imparting. Yeah, but I mean, they'd have to play it up the whole, you know, your father died doing this life and we had all stepped away from it. We can't they're going to totally do a Little Mermaid 2.
Yeah.
And where, I mean, Little Mermaid 1, she wanted to have her legs.
But then you have Sully pop up in the side, from the shadows and be like, hey, kid, let me tell you who your father really was.
He's going to be Varric.
And then that's how you set up the new story. Uncharted.
I know that we aren't slated to see this game until late 2015, even though they've been teasing about it since 2013.
It's not even about teasing. As soon as we finished Uncharted 3, we were like, and Uncharted 4?
Yeah.
Well, Uncharted 4? I
mean, they mentioned at Spike TV's launch event in 2013 that they were working on something Uncharted related.
And the internet rejoiced it. But all I'm saying is, like, literally as the end credits on Uncharted 3 were rolling, we were like, and Uncharted 4, like, you finished yours before mine.
Yeah.
And you came down to watch me finish mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I knew it was good.
Yep.
But we got to the end of that, and we're like, and how long until Uncharted 4? Like,
so,
because Yubi is, like, pushing out Assassin's Creed every year. So, like, what's up, Naughty Dog? Like, where's my Uncharted 7?
Whoa, just, calm down.
I'm just saying.
Calm it down.
I'm just saying.
Because they have to do a Last of Us 2.
I know.
And all that good stuff.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
So I'm going to have
staying a little bit on topic of Uncharted 4. So
One
of the things that's going on is that it's an exclusive for PS4, which we were planning to talk about exclusives.
Uncharted has only been on the PS4.
I know. But
that
in the
Arab
exclusive, I was doing some more digging around, and from the trailers and stuff where you see a lot of up-close shots, like, I think there's one where, like, you see Drake's face, and he's kind of, like, down on pavement of some kind.
Yeah, that's the story of the trailer.
And a lot of people were theorizing that was possibly, you know, CGI, which, you know, is not something that we haven't not seen
right.
in an Uncharted
FMV.
Game. You know, it's kind of common. But apparently for Uncharted 4... any instance that you're seeing what you think is CGI is actually done in real time.
So let's rephrase that, because the whole entire game is a computer-generated image. So it's all CGI. You're talking about FMV.
Full motion
video.
Yeah.
As opposed to real in-game play.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
All right, so FMV is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Not CGI, because it's all CGI.
But no, but it's all running in that real time.
Real time,
which is great.
In engine.
Yep, in engine.
Ooh.
And it is gorgeous. And they were talking about having a lot of multiple models per character. Because, like I said, we're seeing an older Drake. So we're not seeing our young, you know, kung fu hand grip, let me, like, hang off the chandelier
billion. So we're not seeing G.I. Drake.
No,
I like to call him.
I feel like this Drake would totally be in a bar and be sitting across from Joel.
He would be so helpful.
And be
Sully.
Like...
young Sully.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm
young
okay
Sully
with that.
When Sully met young Drake. Like, I feel like this would be a great time for him to be introduced to a young up-and-comer.
Right.
And then kind of be the Sully to his... to that character.
Yep.
And
also a good possibility.
Honestly, from some of the screenshots that I've seen, he kind of reminds me of the hot prince from Dorne who got his head squished in Game of Thrones spoilers.
Oh.
He kind of does. When you look at the picture, he kind of looks like that guy. At least in profile.
I'm still so sad about that.
Have you finished that yet?
Yes.
Eerie tangent? Okay, good. So, yeah. But no, seriously, I'll show you the picture, and then you'll look at me like, it's totally that dude. It's not. But it totally could be that dude. But it looks...
I'm just looking forward to the story, because Naughty Dog has not disappointed me on any outing that they've done, except for, like, that bear game.
The bear game?
Yeah, the... Badly Behaved Bear one. Didn't they do that?
Oh, Naughty Bear?
Yeah.
Was that them?
I thought it was them. Wasn't that them?
I don't know. I didn't play it.
Yeah, I think that was them.
Because I had a hard time believing I think that was the cuddly, one time, squishy teddy bears would maliciously murder people.
Right, and I think that was them. I could be wrong. And I'm drinking, so don't quote me on it. But I thought that was them. And I'm pretty sure we were like, ugh, guys, no.
But
like,
I mean,
wow, like Naughty Dog is usually on point, but woo. So if it wasn't them, then I take that back and fuck me, I'm wrong. But for the most part, like, there's been no Uncharted that I have not had a fantastic experience with.
I mean, I still and even remember Fat Drake with the donuts.
Oh my god. And dude, the multiplayer has always been solid.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, and Last of Us, holy fucking hell. Like, I'm this close to getting the remastered one for the PlayStation 4, even though I finished Last of Us before, but it's so good. Like, playing it again would be great, and the only way I could play it again right now would be to unbox, well, first find the box that has the PlayStation 3 box in it in the cellar, and then I labeled them, it's just being able to read the corners, there's a rub, to take my PS3 out of retirement, or I just get the new one, so I'm like, but holiday's going to be crazy, and I'm actually working on an article that will go up on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood this week, comparing holiday exclusives across all three of the big platforms. So, more to come on that, but...
more come.
I'm just saying.
I mean, well, we obviously know that as soon as, you know, this... That once this hits the PS4 kingdom, that
seriously, I will... there's nothing else happening in my life.
Right.
In my life.
My life is all about the Drake.
Okay.
And I don't mean Monkey Boy.
Oh, don't be hating on poor Canadian Drake.
Sorry,
dude. He's actually really sweet. Do you know
he's
that?
He's got big old ears.
Yeah, but do you know he's actually really very polite and kind and sweet?
He was on Degrassi.
So?
That's why he's polite.
No, he's polite because he's Canadian.
And he was on Degrassi.
And he was on Degrassi.
As a kid in a wheelchair. He is so thankful.
Don't be upset. Drake has good rhymes. Don't be hating. Don't be hating. Just because he has big ears.
Huge Dumbo ears.
Don't be hating on the light-skinned boy.
He could wrap them around his head and have a canopy.
Hey.
He could shield his face from the sun.
Panda, he works hard. Now you stop picking on that boy for his ears.
He needs to pin his ears back.
Don't ear shame him. That's
ear shame.
That's horrible.
Ear shame.
That's meaning you're a bully.
I'm a bully.
You're a bully.
He's a bully.
You're a bully. He's not a bully. You're a bully.
He's a bully.
His character on Degrassi was in a wheelchair and you're still picking on him. You're the bully
here. Well, because his ears were small and contained.
They were not small and contained.
He's let them rage like a Canadian fire.
Stop. You are so out of control right now. I can't even deal with you.
Anyway, but that's all.
Uncharted 4.
That's all the stuff I have to report currently about Uncharted 4.
Obviously, however, you're going to buy it.
However, I will be digging through all of my mails to get all the sweetest and hottest news relating to Naughty Dog because I love you.
And trust us, we will be hitting up our friends at Naughty Dog for every tidbit, morsel, and bit of news that they could share with us. And hopefully we'll
it's like, leave me a breadcrumb or something.
And hopefully, as we get closer to the game being released, maybe we can get somebody from the team to come on the show.
I would totally love to sit and pick somebody's brain from Naughty Dog. Please come on my show.
So we'll work on that, and we'll have more to come on that. Stop it. So,
you are setting me up.
Don't have a dirty mind.
Only...
Try to not have a dirty mind.
Okay. Only dirty laundry?
Try not to have dirty laundry.
Okay.
That's a fixable thing.
Well, what about you, my dear sister? What do you have to contribute?
All right. So, there's a lot of things when I was thinking of what exclusive platform game could I talk about. Because we are going to do another episode where we talk about stuff that's coming to all the platforms. Like Unity, but also the Modern Warfare game and Witcher 3 and all that kind of stuff.
Battlefield Hardline, which is Battlefield GTA, but cops.
Battlefield cops. But One of the games that I really wanted to explore coming out of E3, specifically the media briefings, was a game from Moon Studios that's going to be an Xbox One exclusive called Ori and the Blind Forest. And I think I might have talked a couple of seconds about it last week.
Yes, I do believe I remember hearing.
But the thing that I wanted to explore about the game, because it just looks so beautiful, it was really more where the inspiration from the game came from, what the gameplay was going to be like. I wasn't able to get to the game on the game floor, unfortunately. One, I was having a difficult time finding it in Microsoft's booth, just because there were so many people and they were trying to, you know, play with TJ Combo in Killer Instinct, which is the season 2 update for that.
Yep, I saw that. Holiday.
And I think them adding Combo makes perfect sense. It's really cool to see him in the game. But it was really difficult to navigate around the crowds of people. There's a good crowd for the Fantasia game as well. So I was never able to find Ori in between my appointments to try and get hands-on. But it was one of the games that, as I watched the trailer during the media briefing, that I actually got a little emotional. And that doesn't really happen a lot.
Yeah, she keeps her feels on lock.
I usually keep my feels, like, pretty on lock, which is, you know, like, requisite ninja. But as the trailer went through and, like, the first thought that I had was because there was no dialogue, it immediately struck a Journey chord with me.
Oh,
which, as you guys know, yep. I absolutely love Journey.
I'm a big fan of Journey.
Ori and the Blind Forest is a 2D game to pay homage to the 2D games that a lot of us grew up playing. Moon Studios really wanted to spend and hopefully gets across in their game that it feels much like the games of the 90s that we played. Specifically, they've been quoted as saying that the game is a Metroidvania type game. So it's inspired very much by Metroid-style gameplay, but classic Metroid, again, like we grew up, you know, in the 8-bit realm playing, and games like A Link to the Past, as far as the gameplay goes. As far as the visuals go, and I think it's one of the things that, you know, just the aesthetic alone speaks volumes of the game, especially when you see the trailer, is that they wanted players to feel like when they're running through the game that they're playing in a painting.
Ooh.
And that...
very artsy.
That then strikes that Braid kind of chord with me. So now you've got me really interested in a game that plays like a Metroid and has light RPG elements like A Link to the Past and has a visual style that is beyond cel-shaded. It's more almost like a combination of watercolor and cel-shading in its style, so that it does feel almost like a moving, fluid painting. Then you tell me that the studio's been working on it for 4 years, and part of that has been to focus on the story, and that they really spent a lot of time looking at what Studio Ghibli and Hayao Miyazaki has done in their movies, in feature-length films, and even some of their shorts, to help guide and inspire how they tell their story and have their narrative. And then you put that in a bow and say, oh, by the way, we developed this for the next-gen consoles, and it's coming out this holiday. Yeah, I'm very interested in that.
So, I mean, do we have any idea of
the story?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we do. So, in the game, basically, the player is a forest spirit. Very young forest spirit.
Like the ones from Princess Mononoke?
Very similar. So there are other, I don't want to say necessary characters, but support characters, if you will, okay, that you run into that are other spirits that are not fully formed.
Okay.
So they appear as like orbs of light.
Okay.
I believe. As an attack that you can use, which is really cool. So again, very inspired by the forest spirits in
okay,
the Mononoke movie. But basically, you're a forest spirit, and you don't know exactly what your role is in the forest.
Okay.
You're very young.
Are you fully formed?
And no.
Okay.
And up on your own.
Okay. Like Echo the Dolphin. All of a sudden you're surrounded by spirits, but then all of a sudden you're not.
And
hate that game.
Basically, Echo. Through this 2D game, platform through to learn what your role is supposed to be in this forest. So it's very, very interesting to me. And, you know, even the mention of light RPG elements doesn't scare me away, because just from what I saw from the trailer, and again, it's very emotional, it's very gorgeous. I highly recommend that you check it out. If you go to Moon Studios' website, you can see it right on their page, but they make the artwork foremost on the page, so you can see right off the bat just what the style looks like and how amazing it is. I love the idea of having a platformer, like the ones I grew up on, to play. Because don't get me wrong, I love the new platformers. And I love the new action games. We just, you know, spent the last 20 minutes just riffing on how much we're looking forward to Uncharted 4. Which doesn't even drop until late next year.
Yeah, which is late probably, next year.
Which more than likely means holiday of 2015.
Most likely. Okay. I mean, we'll probably get exposure to, like,
beta. Yeah.
A
but
multiplayer
the game
and
itself
stuff.
Will more than likely, if they're saying late 2015, what that actually means is fucking holiday 2015. And they don't want to say it. Fine.
We get
Fine.
It.
Fine. I'm cool with that.
I'll deal.
Okay. But, you know, Ori is going to be available in October.
Now, when you say, like, so it's only their storytelling that is inspired by Hayao Miyazaki, like, we're not going to look at, like, Level 5 and Studio Ghibli's animation choices?
I think that you probably will see some inspiration from that, but really what drove them and where they got a lot of their inspiration was that they wanted their stories to be able to be told with that visual. And not necessarily have to use the words all the time, but to easily convey that emotion. So they looked at what Ghibli was doing and Miyazaki was doing, but they also looked at things like The Lion King and Iron Giant for the way that they told story and got emotional across and really drew.
Damn you, John Lasseter.
Dude! Well, you know, the biggest thing on Iron Giant is not so much Lasseter, but Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Brad Bird tells great stories.
He most certainly
Don't believe
does.
Me, watch The Incredibles again.
That's true.
Okay. Brad Bird tells great stories.
Agreed.
So I think that, you know, having and striving to tell a story in that way without necessarily having to have dialogue, because in none of the gameplay that I've seen have I seen dialogue, so I don't think that's a part of it. I think that it's all about the visual and the atmosphere and the journey that you go on that you get the story, and it's going to be very poignant and be very much about the emotion, but also being clever to figure out how to get through the game, because it still is a platformer, so there are battles that you have and actions that you have to take, and as most of the forest, you know, the blind forest as it is, because a big chunk of it is very much dark, and so you as this light creature forest,
you have to bring light to this darkness.
I don't know that you have to bring light to the darkness. I'm going to imagine that that's what it is, but that you have to cut through it and you have to not be scared by it as a
don't
part of
the
your
darkness
journey.
Consume your light.
It really is kind of a coming of age story. But for this little forest character. So, this little forest feature.
I mean, and don't forget, like, you know, going back to kind of exclusives, because, I mean, I think we're getting something from the makers of Journey, but which is solely based in water, and that's where I'm going with this. I think it was called, like, Azubu, or Akabu?
Abzu?
Yeah, Abzu. Yes, A-B-Z-U, Abzu. Like, water something, and you are, like, exploring the world of the sea, which I think is going to be, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
All right, so that game company is the one that did
Journey. Did Journey.
So that game company is working on Abzu? See, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think that was during the time where
You take the poop?
No, the internet went kaprps, and I was like, as a fiend, running around trying to get it back so we could get the live tweet running again.
But, yeah, because literally you are, it looks like you're a humanoid entity, because I don't want to say human, because I don't think you're human, because you're able to exist in water without having to come up for air. But you have this thing on your head that kind of looks like a mini hammerhead shark head. So I think, like, you're probably, like, half fish, half human.
Okay.
Type, like a nymph.
Yep. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Type deal. And you're exploring the world and you're coming across animals and interacting kind of in the same way that you do as the little journeyman, meeting all the, like, scrolly animals and stuff. But it looked absolutely beautiful. And I was like, yes, take my money now, please. Please.
Yeah, I'm all for forking over dough. And we will definitely talk in another podcast about all of the indie stuff that happened. Because we've got to talk about No Man's Sky. We got to talk about Devolver bringing Broforce to the PS4. Because I've been wanting to play Broforce, but not until it comes to a console. Because
because currently right now it's for PC.
Correct. And, you know, if I can play on Steam on my Mac, like, I'm solid, but if I gotta get a PC to play your game, sorry, not gonna happen. And actually, sorry, not sorry. So, the only other thing that I have to have in the podcast is, since we're talking about exclusives on platforms, there's a bunch that we could talk about for Nintendo, like Smash Brothers. Or the slew of indie games that they're bringing, like Armillo.
I don't know anything about Armillo.
Yeah, it's Space Armadillo. Pretty awesome.
Space Armadillo.
Seriously. So it's like a piece of it is like Katamari because you can roll up in a ball and like roll over things and then you like pop out and you have a little platformer. It's kind of cute. But really the only one that I want to talk about is Bayonetta 2 because it's the only reason why I bought a Wii U.
Yep, that's now currently up here
that's
in the Esh space.
Currently in, you know, the Esh playroom because I was like, look, it can be up here until Bayonetta 2 and then Bayonetta 2 and I'm going to get, like, real intimate with the Wii U with that. And then once we're done with that, like, have at. Because, you know, I have to amend that statement a little bit because I do want to get down with the new Zelda.
Well, the Zelda that's not Zelda?
The Zelda that's not Zelda. The Zelda that is Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get down with that Zelda. But that's going to be like in 2015, and really more unlikely is 2016. Let's not be stupid. So I got time, which means Panda has time with the Wii U to get all like intimate and all up in it.
I most certainly do.
But Bayonetta this October. So let's talk about this.
Sure, let's do it.
Because, like I said, Bayonetta 2 is the only reason why I bought a Wii U. Not any other thing. I was not sold on the gamepad. I was not sold on needing a new system and being able to use my old Wii controllers. I did not give a damn. Mario Kart would not have made me buy the platform or play it. And frankly, the new Super Mario game with the cat suit wouldn't have made me buy it either.
Nope, I would just go to somebody's house who already had one and play it there.
Correct. But Bayonetta 2...
Which is exactly what I've done.
Bayonetta 2... did when they said Wii U exclusive, which broke my heart to be honest with you because
you were like, damn, now I have to get it.
Well, it's not that I wasn't concerned about getting with the box. I was concerned with them taking out all the shit that I loved about Bayonetta because, as we know, Nintendo has for the longest time been the console of
casual, habitual, non-violent
correct games. Like no blood, no gore, no nasty thing.
No balls.
I don't want to say balls or not balls because I don't want to make
testicles.
I don't want to make it masculine versus feminine because that's not cool. But it's just always been the console for family and children.
Yeah.
And so the games have always needed to be appropriate for that. I don't knock Nintendo for that because we've needed it for the longest time because kids have to have a platform that feels safe. And it's very easy for parents when they can go into a store and know, oh, I can buy any game for Nintendo. I don't even have to look at the
ERC. Outside of No More Heroes, because Suda 51 is, you know.
Right, but even with No More Heroes, they did something. They brought a few of those things back. Like, it wasn't as over the top as Suda wanted to do with the game. I mean, he had a lightning, basically a lightsaber, as opposed to a katana, which I have to imagine was probably a change that was made to make it more playful. But anyway.
More family friendly.
Right. That being said, my fear was when they said Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U, I was like, all right, well, her hair's not going to come flying off her body anymore.
There will be no pleasure ponies or joys to kill.
There's not
going to
be any pleasure pony kills for joys. Like, I was very afraid that they were going to take all of the over-the-top stuff that Platinum put into the game that made me fall in love with the game and the character. Because in all honesty, if you take all the over-the-top things away from Bayonetta, she's a really lame character.
She's really just a British nanny-ish magical person.
It's not even that. She's basically just a snooty Mary Poppins, okay? Her story is very minimal to begin with.
Oh, I'm a reject among my clan. Well, they think I'm an abomination.
Hold on, take a step back. The way that you start the game is, Bayonetta doesn't remember who she is.
Right.
She just knows that she has these powers, and she's pissed off at angels because they tried to kill her when she woke up, so she's just decided that she's going to take it to them. She has no recollection of her clan. It's as you progress through the game.
And her interactions with Jean.
Yep, and her interactions with her younger self, which she doesn't know is her younger self until the end, that she pieces it all together and puts it back. So she's got amnesia and is just on a cleanse for vengeance, though she knows not why. Like, it's a very, very lame story. And then when you even figure out that, oh, well, as it turns out, her dad and her mom were, you know, star-crossed lovers.
Romeo and Juliet of the universe.
Yep, and a bunch of dudes on his side of the fence decided that it could never be, even though they already had a kid, so they wiped out his beloved, Rosa, Bayonetta's mom, killed her.
Bambi style.
Okay. He loses his mind, literally, and was like, fuck all y'all, and fuck this entire world. And as the last of the Lumen Sages decides that he's going to basically bring back, quote-unquote, the Creator to wipe out the entirety of existence and start over again at his design. And the only way that he can do it is with another witch. So he's decided that he's going to use his daughter, which is why the witches lock her away, because right. She can help bring back the Creator. Like, that's the whole be the reckoning thing.
Right.
Okay. To bring back Jubilius, because you can't say God, because can't do that in a video game, because that's sacrilegious.
I mean, so unless you're saying gods like Roman or Greek.
You go through this big, huge fucking thing to trick her into becoming the left eye to his right eye of the Creator. At which, at the end, Jean's like, no, you don't have to fall for that. Fuck your dad. And you're like, oh, yeah, fuck my dad. And then you kill him and Jubilius.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a weak fucking story that by itself, if you didn't have just the over-the-top fighting and the style and the visual and, like, just the absurdity of harnessing an angel to a pleasure pony and making them climax to death.
Literally. Climax, maximum climax.
Like, without that, the game just would not be interesting at all. So without that over-the-topness, like, it's a lame fucking character. You don't enjoy that game. I mean, because the visuals weren't all that great. Everything, you know, because you were pushing the systems as best as they could go. And I played this on my, what did I play Bayonetta on? I think I played Bayonetta on my PlayStation.
I played it on my Xbox.
I might have played it on my Xbox. But some of the visuals weren't crisp because the action was just so much.
I mean, the fact that
like,
they had
when
to put,
you went
like,
into
Witch
Time, everything was real hazy.
I mean, I
like
feel
that.
Like that was part of the aesthetic. But I mean, and then there were certain parts where you could activate Witch Time, like during that bullet hell sequence when you're traveling over the water.
Yup. That was a pain in the ass.
Oh my god, such a twat.
You know, but I'm just really looking forward to Bayonetta 2, especially after getting hands-on with it a couple of years ago and seeing that, yep, it plays just like Bayonetta. She still has her sexy little walk, and the hair attacks are there. The demon summons are there. So
I mean, I heard that there was some controversy over the packaging between the initial art on the initial box to the localization for here.
Yes. Yes, there was. And again, so Nintendo asserting themselves and going, hey, it's a North American audience. The box art for North America will be different than the box art for basically every place else.
But I mean, like, one of the designers was really upset that they changed the color of the two. And I think in the region of Japan, their region of it, it's the crescent moon behind her.
And the whole Bayonetta 2 is all the same color. Like, I think it's, like, a golden to match the crescent moon. And in the North America version, it's a full moon, which apparently has something to do with the powers, or her powers. Has something to do with the manifestation of moon phases.
Yep.
Which is why the guy's like, no, you don't understand. It doesn't make sense. And why they changed the two from a golden two to a red two, he will never know, because there's no red elsewhere on the packaging at all. And, like, he was just, this one man was just terribly displaced and upset over their change.
Well, you know,
change.
I mean, the thing is, this is your creation, right? And when you send stuff to be finalized, everybody should agree and sign off on it before it goes to print.
Agreed.
Okay, we all know about the typo with the Resident Evil game, right? Yeah,
You mean the giraffe?
No, the actual title.
Revelations.
Yeah, Revelations.
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 Instead of Revelations.
Instead of Revelations, Revelations.
Revelations.
You know, so, I mean, stuff needs to... but when you're dealing with, you know, creative types especially, like, they have a specific vision. It's there for a reason. If you go against it, there better have been some fucking conversations about it, and everybody need to at least come to an agreement, whether they liked it or not, about it, before it goes to print. Like, I'm totally in line with the creative guy on, look, this is the vision. Like, the whole reason why it's a crescent moon, not a full moon, is this. And this is why it needs to be on the front of the game, which is why I designed it that way. It's not just about, oh no, full moon looks better.
Yeah,
better full
and
moon.
I'm gonna draw a bayonet, and her butt's gonna go over here, and I don't want the full moon to overshadow her
butt. And American audiences are too dumb to know that this is two if we just put it in the same color, so we need to make it stand out.
Let's make sure that they realize that that's
We're
a very important
that
number.
We're not dumb.
Not all
you
of us,
You don't
anyway.
Have to do that.
Not all of us are that dumb.
Yeah. Only, like, a small chunk.
Like,
so I have a lot of hopes for Bayonetta. I think that it's very interesting that this game is really going to focus on the relationship between Bayonetta and Jean. Or Jean.
Jean.
There you say
technically.
It. Because, frankly, that's one of the things that, like, I really wanted to understand. Because I it was never clear to me in playing Bayonetta 1 on whether or not Jean was really our friend.
Well,
and she's just aloof.
Well, I mean, she was very, I think she was very keen on, you know, because especially during the ending sequence where she's like, you know, you're not the last Umber Witch, I am, because technically, spoilers, Bayonetta isn't the last one because she's not a full either. She's a hybrid of both.
Yes, she's a Lumen Sage and an Umber Witch.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like it was, you saw frenemies with Jean and Bayonetta because she wanted to prove that she was stronger than Bayonetta. Even though, you know, their skill sets were fairly similar outside of a few.
It's not fairly similar. They're identical. They're the yin and yang of a coin.
Yeah. So, but that's what we saw in the first game was just that frenemies thing. So now we're really going to see whether or not they can grow beyond that or if that's just going to be their dynamic.
See, that's one of the things that was never clear to me. Like, I was never sure that they were frenemies.
Because she kept showing up and gave her little bits, like she's, you know, gave Bayonetta little tidbits of information about her past, hoping it would unlock stuff to kind of help her guide herself away from becoming the eye. But she never came out and said, like, this is what you are.
Right.
This is what happened.
And so that's why,
like, she could have made it so easy by, like,
but
yeah, you're
I'm
this
saying.
Thing. You can't be around this type of stuff because you'll bring the
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know that that's being an enemy as much as Jean's just not about spoon-feeding. Like, you should be able to fucking do this.
You are fucking smart. Figure it out.
Exactly.
www.jeangoogle.com.
So to me, that's not enemy, and so that's why I'm like, I was never clear that they were frenemies, or that they were even enemies. Like, just from the way that the story was told, it was never clear to me, you know, especially because when they were younger, and she was hanging out with the Umber Witches when they were having some of those flashbacks, like, Jean was the one there, and they constantly had battles to make each other better, but, like, they never killed each other or hurt each other, and it was always about...
I feel like they are like the Goku and Piccolo of DBZ, but for Bayonetta. Like,
I feel like they're like Goku and Vegeta.
No.
But not with the enemy piece.
No. Because Vegeta, not until, like, end of Z into GT, does he have any respect for Kakarot. And you could tell that Jean, in her
own
way...
You had to just throw him in there and throw in his, like, actual Saiyan name, right?
Yeah. Well, that's his actual... Sorry.
Nerd.
I'm a nerd.
We're talking about Goku and Vegeta. Like, oh, he never had a fame for Kakarot. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He was all like, Kakarot's a whiny bitch. I'm going to beat his ass. I don't care if the power level's over 900.
And instead, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to bang one of his friends.
Man, the one chick, because I couldn't get with Chiaotzu because he's a dude. So I'm going to bang the one chick in your group, and then I'm going to make a son who's going to be more powerful than your sons. Because, you know, Goku had more than one.
Yes.
So.
And Trunks is strong as shit.
Yes. And it had nothing to do with Bulma.
No, nothing.
None.
Nothing.
None.
Not a damn thing.
Nope.
Zero.
Nope. Didn't even get her hair color because the changed.
Yeah, no kidding. The only thing Bulma contributed was the genetics to have.
The vagina. And the oven
the eye,
for
yeah,
the for
that
the bun.
Was about it.
That's all she did. Now, granted, yep. Vegeta had his tender moments for Bulma, though. Like, it wasn't just like, I'm going to bang you and make you have my babies. He had some feels there. He whined her and dined her, like, one time.
That's more for Vegeta. That's a lot for a Saiyan from the planet.
Like Vegeta. The planet was named after him.
Was he not a prince?
Yes, he was the Prince of Vegeta until Vegeta got blown up.
Yep. So,
I mean, he's still kind of the Prince of it.
I would be a little upset about that if my planet got blowed up.
You know, and everyone's like, oh, Kakarot. He's like, fuck that dude. I'm going to beat his ass right now.
Okay.
And then Cell comes in the mix like, I'm going to beat all you. Who the fuck are you? We don't care because you're going to fight. DBZ was just, we're fighting for no reason, but we have to find the Dragon Balls.
Oh, and hold on.
And the balls are inert.
We have to find the balls because we have to bring Goku back because he died again.
But by the time you get them at that point, they're like, yeah, the dragon's like, we can't keep bringing him back.
Don't you understand?
Do you guys realize that your growth is stunted because you keep bringing him back?
That's like the fourth time we brought him back.
It's like you could ask for anything else but Goku's return.
How about Kevlar for Goku? How about we start there? Okay? Can we talk about that? Maybe somebody makes him retire. Because, I swear to God, I was just talking to my other dragon buddies. They were like, yeah, I brought back that Goku guy. They found the ball. So I was like, oh, sure, I'll bring him back. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? I just brought that motherfucker back, like, 3 years ago when they brought me the balls.
Yeah, well, I brought him back from being a giant monkey when he was just a little boy.
So then everybody goes, hold up.
He's had way too many privileges in the Dragon Kingdom.
Everybody who's brought back Goku, raise your hand.
Raise your tail.
Every fucking dragon.
All the dragons. There be dragons.
That's why they need to have cabals and talk some more. Because Goku should be totally out of resurrections at this point.
Like, now they should be like, we should kill Gohan so that we can ask for Gohan back.
Wait, wasn't there a rule someplace that, like, you couldn't wish for the same thing multiple times when you brought
that wasn't until the middle of GTA. Not in the middle of GTA. In the middle of Z, when they had them all. And they got the dragon, like, we want Goku back. He's like, look, all dragony. We can't bring him back. We can do this thing that's kind of like bringing him back, but he has to go talk to somebody else to help him get back. We could do that, but I can't bring him back anymore. And they were just like, well, we want him back. Well, now the balls are inert and they don't work. Peace. It's like, I'm done. They don't work anymore. It's done. No more mushrooms for you. No more one-ups.
No more ups.
You're down you for good. Totally you're down for the count ups. Now. Let your sons figure it out.
Oh, Dragon Ball. And I tried to get back into Naruto a little while ago. I was like, nope.
I tried to read the manga. Couldn't get into that. And I'm like, F this. Couldn't do it.
All right. So, other exclusives on the horizon that we're definitely going to be talking about. For me, Sunset.
Yes. That'll be the reason why I get an Xbox One.
So, one of the things that came out this week, because we're not going to dive deep into the game, but definitely check out the trailer. We'll make sure that we put a link up in the post about it so you can check it out. So this week, one of the things that you can do is, you know, you can design characters.
Yes.
In the game.
And apparently there's an assassin in there.
Yeah, there is.
There's a female assassin, by the way.
Yeah.
Talk about shots fucking fired.
Shots fired. So
man down. Prom, bum, bum, bum.
The Sunset guys are like, yeah, we have a female body in our game. And oh, by the way, you can totally skin it to look like an assassin. And like, no joke, it's not just the Kenway robes. And I mean, they are the fucking Kenway robes, by the way. Like, they don't have the metal assassin symbol on it, but it's basically assassin.
It's totally an assassin.
But also, you can mount a little blade to your little hand thing so it looks like a hidden blade, so it's totally a female assassin. I'm just like, nice. Nice, Insomniac. I see you, baby.
They were like, we can make a female, like, super quick. Look.
Yeah, check it out. Ready, set, female. Look. We put the model in there. Oh, my God. Wait, we already had the model because we did a female character, like, way back in the beginning. We just put the outfit in. Oh. Now, don't get me wrong. It is very difficult if you don't have a skeleton and the costumes already designed.
And you don't know how that character is going to move.
Correct. It takes a lot of time and effort to go back, especially in a game at the scale of Assassins, to do it. I completely understand that. But there are better ways of saying it.
Than that way.
Than the way that it was said by Ubisoft.
I know.
And the way that you fix it is you plan DLC to add it in after the game launches, since you've already worked on the game and targeted a launch for October. Which, guys, let's be honest, okay, we're sitting here in June, we're talking July, August, September, October. 4 months is not enough time to work in a whole new skeleton and schema and movement.
And then test every and all customizations for said skeleton.
Okay, especially moving it into the co-op multiplayer, the way that it works. I understand why the game's not launching with a female character, just because it wasn't a thought in the process. Cool, fine, completely get it. But you should damn sure be able to give me some DLC before the year is out.
Agreed.
So I'm putting that in your pocket, Yubi. Let's see what you do with it. But we will talk about Assassins. We will talk about...
Oh, we know you will.
We will talk about Far Cry 4.
Yep, you will.
We will talk about Advanced Warfare, because Kevin Spacey.
Kevin fucking Spacey.
But also gameplay, because, guys, I touched it. And like I said, it gave me something to believe in, like... Don't sleep on the Call of Duty game, guys. Don't. You will be disappointed. Sledgehammer's putting their foot in it, so don't
sleep. I love on when that they shit. Stick their feet in it.
Okay. We will also be talking about Rainbow Six, because hallelujah, Rainbow Six, hallelujah. And I'm not religious, but hallelujah.
We're more spiritual.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, the fact that it is 6-on-6, and that no, it is.
Oh.
And it's counter terrorist versus terrorist, basically.
So wait.
So instead of like a big grand scheme, basically what you are doing is you're playing small environments.
Okay.
And what you have to do is, depending upon which side of which team you pick, you're either barricading up and booby trapping a house to keep the counterintelligence team from being able to get in and take your hostage.
And hack your shits.
Not even about hacking your shits, take your hostage. Or you're the counterintelligence team
trying to
bust through all that
to
shit.
To get the hostage
and keep the hostage
safe. Give me that hostage. No.
Okay. And there's no respawning. So once you take a bullet to the knee, like, you're fucking down. Like, you're out.
You do realize that whole cause of taking an arrow to the knee wasn't actually being shot in the knee in wartime in Dragon.
I don't give a shit. It's a great funny line.
It's about marriage.
Okay, that's fine.
Take an arrow to the knee because you have to get on one knee because you lose your knee.
Okay, that's fine. Kay. That's cool. That's great. You know what? Funny line. Let's move on. But the gameplay looks phenomenal. So we'll be talking about that. We're going to get deep down and dirty with The Division.
Down and dirty.
We're going to spend some time with the crew. We're going to walk you guys through all of the stuff that we spent time with at UB. We're going to talk Skylanders, surprise.
Wow, you? Who's all Disney Infinity?
Yeah, like for a hot second, but then we're going to get back to Disney Infinity because we're damn sure talking Disney Infinity 2. Disney Infinity 2.0 is probably going to get its own episode. I'm not going to lie.
I probably will.
It's going to happen. It's going down. But, you know, we're going to talk Fantasia, and we hope to have at least a couple of the team from Harmonix actually on to talk about the game here within the next couple of months. We're working on scheduling now. Boop, boop. You know, so there's so much coming this year. Like, no, seriously.
Oh, okay.
Like I said on the podcast before, I'm not a Halo fan, but I'm fucking excited for...
Destiny?
No, I was going to say the Master Chief Collection.
Oh.
Halo?
But
Halo.
Right.
Bungie, not on Halo no more.
Right, right.
Bungie on the Destiny.
Can you tell that I play Halo? No.
Yeah, no. No.
I got ODST, got to the spaceship rocket level, and I'm like, and I'm bored. Sorry, ODST, ULOST.
Oh, me. Look at you with the spelling.
Because I can.
Aw, I'm so proud of you.
Yay.
No, but we'll talk Master Chief Collection because, guys, at $60, like, that is ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
Just, even if you've never touched a Halo game, $60 to play them all on the current system, all updated for that, servers dedicated to them.
That over sounds 120, for people who really like Master Chief and Halo.
Over 121 maps.
That's a lot of maps.
On server, on disk.
I can barely read one map.
On disk, son. Like, that is crazy.
That is a lot.
For $60.
That's giving me anxiety.
Okay? The fact that you can go in and you can make a playlist so you can pick one level from Halo 1, pick a different level.
Nah, I don't like the idea of
make your own fucking playlist of, like, this is the level I want to play, which is these three different episodes from these three different games.
Whoa.
Oh, and throw a little bit of this on there as well.
That sounds like a lot.
Dude, it's awesome! Putting the playlist together is so simple, and then you can put your playlist out for other people to play or find other people's
playlists.
Well,
you can do that. I will just watch you.
Yo! I'm so excited, and I don't even like Halo.
And she can't hide it. She's about to lose control, and she thinks she likes
Halo,
it.
Although I respect Master Chief as a character. Don't even like Halo.
Halo.
And that's going to then get you and run you right into Guardians? Which Guardians does look tight. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, I agree with you.
I was already thinking, like, all right, so I guess I'm going to have to play a Halo game now because Guardians looks really good. It basically looks like everything I want the next Mass Effect game to look
everything
like.
Everything that I want my games to be is in here.
No, but Guardians looks like what I imagined the next Mass Effect game would look like. So, you know,
right.
Bring it.
Right.
All right. Play Destiny with the open beta right after E3 when they
open that beta up like a show.
And Destiny, actually, I'll be honest with you. I originally had, like, written it off and I wasn't going to pay much attention to it. I'm kind of changing my mind about Destiny.
Good. You can play that because I have no intentions to.
I think actually after you see it, you might change your
mind. Nope.
I think you're gonna
change. Nope.
Your mind. Panda, you're gonna change your mind.
Nope.
Panda, when am I ever wrong about you changing your mind?
I hate that you're never wrong about me changing my mind ever.
Okay. Now this is me saying after I put my hands on it. I think that once you put your hands on it,
I'm not touching it. Not touching it. I'm not touching it. Not touching it.
You're gonna touch
no,
it.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you're
not touching it. My hands. It. Nope. Nope.
I don't care.
Sitting on my hands. Sitting on my hands.
You're gonna touch it.
Not doing it.
Once you touch it, you'll be like,
nope. That sounds like a bad touch.
No, it's a good touch. It's a good touch. I promise. Let me pat you on the head. It's a good
touch.
It's a good touch.
No.
But we do. We have so much to talk about over the next couple of months. And a lot of it is gonna be about things that are gonna be dropping this holiday season. Like,
yay, I love holiday season.
It's gonna be really strong. You know, you've got Sunset dropping, you've got Assassins dropping. Obviously, you have the sports games, so new FIFA, new Madden, new NBA, new NHL games. They're all dropping. Look, I mumble about them too because they're not my thing, but they sell really well because you guys fucking love those games. So, you know, holiday is going to be huge this year.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you've got the Mario games, which Mario Kart's doing really well, and it's helping Nintendo's numbers.
Oh, good, because they need the help.
You've got Bayonetta 2 that'll be out in October. Holiday is going to be very strong this year. I'm really looking forward to it.
It'll be quite festive for us.
It will be. It's going to be broke bitch holiday. Like, no lie, October's going to hurt.
Broke bitch 2014.
There's a lot of games dropping in October, guys.
So much dropping.
And there's a few games that we only know fall 2014. We don't have time yet, you know.
Probably November.
The Fable Legends multiplayer is going to drop someplace in there, and the game will more than likely drop shortly after that as long as there aren't any issues. You know, Ori is in that fall 2014. We don't have a date yet, but as soon as we do, we'll definitely share it with you guys to put it out there.
The Tomb Raider game, I think, is set for an October release.
I thought the Tomb Raider game was 2015.
Oh, it might be. But I thought... Oh, October of 2015, then, maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was October
2015. I remember they gave us a month.
Yeah, I thought it was October 2015. Which, don't get me wrong, if I'm wrong, then that'll be awesome, but I thought it was 2015 on the October. Because it was a real teaser of, hey, this is what we've got going on.
This is what you have to wait
for,
guys.
But isn't the remastered Last of Us not in holiday?
I think that is holiday.
Yeah, 2014? And
yes.
I'm thinking that it's like either October or November. Like, it's strong, guys. It's a big heaping, helping of strong. Destiny's going to be out in November.
The game hand, like, is strong.
Serious.
This year.
Next gen, it's all about the games. And the games are finally.
Finally.
Finally. Here. So I'm very excited to be broke this holiday season.
I'm not.
It's going to happen. We haven't even run into what's going to happen in December yet, but there's a lot more to come from us
from E3. You know, we have indies to talk about. Like I mentioned earlier, we got to talk about Broforce. We got to talk about
No Man's DLC. Sky.
We got to talk about No Man's Sky. We got to talk about, you know, games coming from developers that are not necessarily up in most people's view, but should be, because Atlas ain't no joke. Like, the Persona game is solid. Rollers of the Realm is solid. And I spent a lot of time on that game, more game than I thought I really would. Because, you know, I love pinball, but RPG.
Pinball Wizard.
You know, Tokyo Game Show's around the corner, so you know that we're going to have finally something to share with you about Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15.
Yep.
Which I know.
And God knows whatever else they might decide to talk about around that time, too.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. We were teased last year that Kingdom Hearts was coming. We had nothing about Kingdom Hearts 3 at this year's E3. We know that they were working on the game before they made the teaser announcement last year. Now you start extrapolating. Game dev periods are usually 3 to 4 years, which means, potentially, at Tokyo Game Show, we should have a release date.
I'm very good at extrapolating.
I am. So we should get new trailer, probably a couple of characters, because from when they did the teaser, Disney has come up with a couple of more things, like Brave.
Yep.
You have, what's the, Big Robot 6? Which is the movie that they're teasing that's going to come out next summer, I think. Which is the one about robos and is a nod to Japanimation. So, you know, obviously that needs to be incorporated in because we have a new princess from Brave. So we have to incorporate the new princess. Okay, they took over ILM stuff. So Leia's now a princess.
Yep, she's a Disney princess now.
Which means, theoretically, could be added into the game, so there could be a Star Wars level.
Oh my god, like a Tron level!
They've got to have a Tron level.
Oh my god!
Okay.
That would be cool.
So you start thinking about all the stuff that Disney has done since the teaser, the game's got to get bigger, because there's got to be a Tron level. Okay, they are now officially in bed with Pixar, so that means possibility of Ratatouille, incredible.
Oh my god, yes, yes, Ratatouille like, level.
You start opening up the world and you go, hey.
You were right.
This sounds pretty badass. So I for one, cannot wait for Tokyo Game Show and the news that'll come out of there, because you know that we're going to get some dates finally to some things that are
dates.
TBD, which is fantastic. I'm hoping that they will finally tease about Mass Effect and what the hell is happening there, because we know something is, we just don't know what it is. I'm hoping that we'll get some more information about Phantom Dust.
Oh yes,
which to me makes perfect sense to delve a little bit deeper into that at Tokyo Game Show. So for stuff coming around the corner, there's a wealth of news and shit that we are going to be talking about, so it's going to be a great summer, guys. Depending upon the weather, the next podcast might be from the backyard, outside, sun and fun and games. What? Craziness. So it's time for me to start wrapping it up, because I think we've done a pretty damn good job with this podcast. Wouldn't you say so, Panda?
I would.
You know what else we do a pretty damn good job with?
Our segues.
Well, I was going to say the stuff that we write about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. But segues are something that sometimes we excel at, not always. But you definitely want to check out all of our written reviews, previews, and pieces over there at egmnow.com. As I mentioned, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. We put up new stuff daily, so make sure that you hop on over there, subscribe to the page, and that way you can keep in the know as soon as we put new stuff out. You'll also want to make sure that you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Like our page, stay with our news, add us to your feeds. It's worth it.
Completely.
We are also on the Twitters, twitter.com/ESH News, for all of the new podcast episodes that we put out on all of our websites, as well as all of our written articles, reviews, and whatnot. If you want to find it first and fast, make sure that you're following us on Twitter. Share with your friends. Tell them all about us. We love being shared around. You can get brand new episodes of our podcast typically on Mondays, poppin' fresh and new, edited by the team for the team. That's you guys. But you can also get that podcast in the iTunes Music Store by searching for Electric Sisterhood, either on the desktop application or through the podcast application on your iOS device. You'll also find us in the Microsoft Store, as well as brand new episodes of our podcast on the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, on Tuesdays right before Anime Jam Session, because it's games and animes, bitch.
Bitch.
Yeah, I said it. You did. I meant it. What? But there are also other amazing shows over on Vogue, so make sure that you check them all out. OLR, Bobby Black, Wolf.
Critical Myth.
I mean, there's just so much great stuff, guys. Check it out. I highly recommend it. For our network, for your nerd needs for the rest of the week, you want to make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race, held down by the one, the only, KBD, King Baby Duck.
Baby Duck.
If it's indie, he's talking about it. Sometimes even in Japanese. So make sure you get involved.
Tsukinanda.
On Wednesdays, even if you're not into the EDM and, you know, maybe going to EDC, or have went to EDC, past tense, if it's trap, if it's boom in your face and you like it, if you're working out, I'm telling you, this guy is spinning great stuff. Make sure you check out geekaggro.com. Our homeboy Deuces Raoul putting together some great playlists in the realms of trap, EDM, bass, trance, house. It is phenomenal. Check it out. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues...
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live. Share your issues. Fetch, talk, chat it out. It's all cool. Be in his YouTube videos because they're amazeballs. And the show is just fun. It's just random fun. So with that, I've pimped everything within the network that needs pimpage. I'm gonna turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, shiss.
Yo.
What shits you digging this week?
My birthday.
Of course you are. It's still a whole 2 weeks away, but why not start pimping it now?
My birthday. My birthday, my birthday, my birthday. What are you digging, my birthday?
No, not your birthday. Totally not
you your digging birthday. My, are you peeping my birthday?
No.
Damn.
No.
What shit
it has
digging?
Absolutely nothing to do with you.
What shit are you digging this week?
I am digging my mustache straw from my custom fake Mason Slurpee jar.
Where'd you get that?
Perfect summer jug to sip your sippages.
Where'd you get it from?
It's a Slurpee jug. And here's the thing. If you look at the front of it, it says right here, only at 7-Eleven. So ask me again where I got it.
Where'd you get it?
7-Eleven.
Okay.
Actually, I got it from Tedeschi's.
Wow. You lied to me.
I'm lying to you now. I got it from 7-Eleven. Oh, thank heaven, 7-Eleven. They're not sponsoring us, but you know, if they wanted to, I'd be okay with it. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Bye.
Toodles.